Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18 is our starting verse for the message this morning. This has been on something that's been on my heart to address and to preach about for a handful of weeks, and the opportunity has come this morning to be able to do so. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18, dealing with the subject here that is of great detriment to mankind, I think it stems from the Lord having created us in His image and His likeness. We are made like unto our Lord. We're not the same as our Lord. He's the greatest. He's the creator. He is above all. He is the great self-existent one. But having been made in His image and His likeness and being able to do in kind or in part the way He does, that makes it to where, because of sin now, we have this problem with pride. Pride. It says here in Proverbs 16, verse number 18, chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, the Lord has declared that, and you and I can count on it. We can bank on it. Pride, when we take a look at this word to understand synonyms and to look into the Hebrew about it, synonyms of this word here used would be arrogancy, and we understand that. One that sees themselves above others. One that sees that their idea is the only idea that will prevail. Excellency, not a self-ascribed excellency. Or self-ascribed majesty, pomp. When the king or a ruler or a monarch, they come in and they're gorgeously appareled and all that, there's an element of pride about that. Pride, proud, and swelling. And see, there's a pumping up of self. And so the Lord tells us plainly here, the Brother Solomon writes, pride goeth before destruction. So you see destruction down there? I mean, it's blown up, scattered, taken apart, fallen apart, and all that. Destruction before that went pride. Okay? And that's speaking about judgment, the judgment of the Lord. On haughty spirit, one that is self-sufficient. Conceited, self-wisdom, that's what happens before a fall. And we understand about how that's meant, a fall. The ultimate fall for sinners, for the unrepentant and unbelieving, is hell in the lake of fire forever. And those that reject the Lord and His way, His salvation, His Savior, His gospel, His word, His truth, are indeed found in a haughty spirit, in a prideful way before the Lord. And if they remain that way until they die, they will find themselves in great eternal destruction. And as the Lord said, the fall of the house built by one upon the sand, He says the fall of it will be great. In Romans chapter 1, and this is for our day, it's really for mankind, it's just an excellent place to go to deal about this and to understand about this pride in its greatest manifestation. In Romans chapter 1, we see in verse number 16, Brother Paul, he wants to come to the church at Rome and wants to be with them. He's never met them at that place in Rome, there in Italy. And he wants to come to them. He wants to teach them. He wants to minister to them. And we pick it up in verse number 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so he deals here about the gospel, and he wants to preach the gospel to them. He says as much in verse number 15. And the summary of the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15. We see it there, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonder of the resurrection is what puts the punch in all of it, that our Savior who died for us lives forevermore. We will live with him. We have died with him, being saved, and we will live with him. He says, he goes on to say here, where he says that the gospel is unto all, unto salvation, no matter the ethnicity, a Jew, nation chosen by God, or those not chosen by God from the standpoint of this national distinction here, the gospel goes to all, is unto all, to everyone that believes it. For therein, verse number 17, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As sinners hear and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the salvation of their souls, the righteousness not of man is revealed, because who did Jesus say that he came to call? He came to call sinners to repentance, not the self-righteous. Jesus didn't come to call the self-righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. For therein, in that working of the gospel of our Lord, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as one believes, another believes, the working of God, the effectual working of his Spirit and his Word. As it is written, the just, or the justified by God, shall live by faith. And that hails all the way back to Habakkuk. So in here we see, in short summation, we see the righteousness of God by faith. It's through Christ, what he's done, not of anything that we can do, but what he has done for the sinner that receives that. But then, as it is with the Lord, I thought about this akin to the, you remember, I believe, over in the book of Leviticus, where the Lord, he tells about the blessing and he tells about the cursing. That may be also listed in Deuteronomy. The listing of the blessing is really, really short, because it's really, really rich and great and abounds. But the listing of the cursing and disobeying the Lord goes on and on and on. It's a multiple of verses longer. Well, so it is here. The righteousness of God that is found by faith in him and him alone. But then we see the unrighteousness of man by disobedience. Verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So there is a truth that is held by mankind, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. Our very created person and being is the power of God, and God himself is manifested, is shown in mankind. For God hath showed it unto them. Now understand, this is not telling that the gospel and the need of the soul can be found in what the Lord has manifested in the creation, but certainly his presence, certainly his power, certainly his existence is manifested in that. He has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's clear. It's not foggy. It's clear. Being understood by the things that are made. Look around. We didn't do this. Okay? And nor is this a mistake. Even his eternal power and Godhead is known by these things, so that they are without excuse. And so God is manifested in the creation and even in our own person. He is manifested that he is there. Again, not the gospel and the way of salvation. That takes his word and the proclamation of the gospel. He has a design for that. But as far as he being there, it is known. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And this is man seeking after God himself with what's manifested and what's known. There's a power that is greater than us. But naturally, when we pursue after it, here's what happens. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, our thinking. Their foolish heart was darkened. You know, as natural man looks to pursue and follow and find the power, the God as he is, every step we make just takes us further and further away from him. That's what sin and depravity has done to us. The foolish heart darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. So that's the first step. God is like a man. No. And to birds. God is like an animal. No. And four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, we miss the Lord always in our natural search for him. Wherefore God, in this continued sin against God, and it says here, the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, God gave them up, verse number 24, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See, this pursuit of man's religion is just going to yield this first level of nastiness, this first revolution, if you will. There's one fellow nationally known preacher, and I think that he's told it right, is that our nation in coming out of World War II, and with all the technology that was developed for the world, we became very, as a nation, we became very proud at the blessings and deliverance of the Lord. He gave great provision that war could be won. But we began to look into luxury and to pleasure and to conceitedness, self-wisdom. We had arrived and we had defeated evil ourselves. Now, not everybody was saying that, but as a nation, as a government, our leadership in that, they believed that we had become the power for good. You know what that did? We were given up to, in this self-wisdom, in this conceitedness, we were given up to the sexual revolution that happened in the 50s and the 60s and on into the 70s. And that's what was listed here. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Not following after what the Lord had given in marriage and the family and the home and his design, and who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. See, we know better. We know better. We are the ones that know our own destiny, and we'll map it out and do it ourselves. Technology and power and that is the answer. Serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. From that time, I understand statistically, is the time that we begin to see church attendance begin to decline in our nation. Don't need God. Don't need the Lord. There begin to be efforts to take and push God out of this institution, out of that institution, out of the schools. That was the seed for it. And then we ended up with this sexual revolution that took place in our nation there in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then with the pursuit of that, what does it say here? For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Remember all that about STDs and ultimately AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases as a result of the perversion of men and women in the order that the Lord had made just for the family, just for the home, one man, one woman, and the propagation of the having of children and the continuing on of filling the earth, men took that and changed that. And one thing, the sexual revolution led over to the sodomite revolution. And that's what happened in our nation in the 90s and the 2000s. 80s, 90s, 2000s. This was written nearly 2,000 years ago. Because you know what this is? This is a cycle that happens amongst people and tribes and nations. And it's happened to our own nation. It goes on to say here, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the third giving up that the Lord does, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then now we presently live in this time. No God. Don't mention God. You can mention any other small g God or prophet of such that you want to, but don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jehovah. Don't talk about a Christ Jesus. Because we don't want to hear anything about, we don't want you, quote unquote, pushing your religion on us. And so here's what's happened. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That is a mind that when a thought comes across it, it is against God in every respect. Every thought that comes across the mind is going to be contrary to the way of the Lord. God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. And you think about our day, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. It's very descriptive of our day, isn't it? It's very descriptive of our day, and we are the most technologically advanced, the quote-unquote wisest and knowledgeable nation that has ever lived. And here is how we are described by the Lord, because that's where we're at. And what it declares here in the midst of this is this, again, of pride. Verse number 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful and proud. Who knowing the judgment of God, verse 32, Paul writes to the Romans and to us, they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's an element that we have now, is the encouraging of others to follow along with the wickedness that one holds to. Not a thing that you go and you go off in a corner and you just mind your own business, but to propagate it and to push it and to push it even upon the innocents in our society. So here we see it. It's interesting that those of our day have designated June as Pride Month. And isn't that interesting that that would be what would be chosen, Pride Month? But it's indicative of what our Lord has declared in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into anything and everything but who he is. Pride. You know what the Lord said in Proverbs chapter 16? It comes before destruction, and it comes before a fall. As we take a look through the scriptures, we can see some things regarding pride, and it's a great study. It's a large study, rather, and I can only mention a few things this morning regarding it. In Psalm 10, verse number 4, we see this, that pride takes one away from God. Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Pride takes one, following that way of pride. We know some folks personally that over the course of the years and the past decades have just continued to go after the prideful way and thinking of the world. And they can't even be, they're at a state that they can't even be talked to. any address about the wickedness that they are pursuing that is open and evident, they will reject it as somebody that we would be somebody that's trying to invoke something upon them and curtail the liberty that they have. They're bound up in this pride. They're going further and further from the Lord. This mentioned here that the third giving up in Romans chapter 1, reprobate and every thought, reprobate, a reprobate mind. It's a terrible, terrible thing. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. All the thoughts are there, and God has nothing to do with them. We see this, Brother Asaph, in Psalm 73. So we'll not take the time to read the entire psalm. I trust you're familiar with it. Brother Asaph, he's having a bad day. He's had a bad few weeks. He looks on at the wicked and he's thinking, my, what's the use to be set apart for the Lord and that? The wicked, they just have it good. He says in verse number 2 of Psalm 73, my feet were almost gone. My steps well nigh slipped. I was beginning to despair about the situation. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. And those are interesting words, aren't they? Their pride, it's a part of their presence and the, if you will, the temporary majesty that they have. They are so certain. They are so founded and settled in their wicked way, but that pride is going to be a chain unto them. Remember what the brother wrote in Proverbs, pride's coming before destruction. Destruction is coming. He says here, compass them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. That's one thing that if we study this about pride, is that the prideful, the scripture says that the prideful become very violent. They're violent to those that don't want to lift up any hand to come against them, but they're willing to take and just devour them totally and completely. That's what pride does. Rising up within men and being cultivated within mankind takes them to a place to where they look at different sections and ethnicities or groups of people and take them and make them not people. That's what happened with World War II. Hitler and his gang were lifted up in pride. And they said, these people, they can be discounted. And they became very destructive towards the Jews. We see in Proverbs chapter 8, we see another element here regarding pride. Verse number 13, Proverbs 8:13, we see here that pride is not a fruit of the Spirit. Wisdom is speaking here, and so understand that. It's wisdom is crying. Doth not wisdom cry, the brother Solomon writes. And wisdom declares this in verse number 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. Wisdom says, do I hate? Because, see, it's not wise to be lifted up in those things, because ultimately every soul is accountable before God. And to be lifted up in evil before the Lord, is there a blessing and a benefit in that? Never. To be lifted up in arrogancy before the Lord, that we know best, and even though thus saith the Lord is commanded in his word, well, I know something that's better than that. No, it's never good. It's never a good place to be found arrogant before the Lord, to be found in an evil way, to have a froward mouth before the Lord. Those things are not of the Lord. Those things don't belong unto the people of God or to anyone as they stand before the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride is to be hated. And you know, again, pride and humility, they're subjects that when we go and touch on to deal with them, we just are found in a great strait in trying to deal with them, right? Because we're just so fraught and just so given to go the way of pride and to have a false humility and to be proud about our humility in that. May the Lord help us in it. We need his help and we need understanding regarding this subject. In Proverbs chapter 11, we can also see that pride has consequences. We've already seen that. These verses tell about it more. Listen to what it says here in Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So see, if there's going to be destruction, pride is leading the way. And in that destruction, there's going to be shame. The Lord that created the home and made the two genders, he will not stand for that to be changed. He will not allow it to be changed. Oh, it may be changed by men. It's been changed by men in times past and other societies and civilizations or groups of people and ethnicities. But in the end, it will not stand. It will not stand at all. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Also in Proverbs 13, verse number 10, we see this. Only by pride cometh contention. You want to have a contentious situation? It's going to take pride to have a contentious situation. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Also in Proverbs 29, verse number 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. And what is lower than the destruction? What's lower than the eternal destruction of a soul? What's lower than the fall before all? You know, think about that in the judgment. For the children of God will have to give answer at the judgment seat of Christ. For what we've built on the foundation with the right building material, we'll have to answer for that which we build on the foundation with wood, hay, and stubble. There will be loss suffered for that, for the latter. We will suffer shame. I think we will suffer from the standpoint of disappointment to our Savior. But then for the unrepentant and unbelieving, you know, some people like fame and they like infamy, but think about standing before every person that has ever lived, standing before God, and it be declared that you're unrepentant, unbelieving, and only by your sinful works are you being judged and then cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's no greater shame than that. And thing is, the subject and the issue with that person will not be hid from anyone, but the truth will be declared in that day. What a terrible, terrible thing. In Ezekiel chapter 16, our Lord does something interesting here. The brother Ezekiel, he is sent to the captivity in Babylon to be a prophet unto them. I say about the folks that are taken in captivity there in Babylon, they end up in Babylon and they really don't know why they've been taken captive. They're kind of in a daze. And the Lord sends a prophet after the fact to those people to declare unto them why they are found in captivity. Brother Ezekiel has to go through a lot of things. He suffers a lot of things. And listen to what's said here. In Ezekiel 16, the Lord he formulates an allegory regarding Israel, and he does so by making a reference here about their lineage. He talks about in the way that they've behaved in verse number 45. Being their mother's daughter, and talking about Israel and Judah, the divided kingdom. And And he says here, your mother was an Hittite at the latter part of verse 45 of Ezekiel 16, and your father an Amorite, which would really be a slam. You know, that would. But that's the way they behaved. They behaved like the inhabitants of the land are actually worse. And see, he says here, and thine elder sister is Samaria, verse 46. She and her daughters that come from her that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. And so he's taking this allegory and he's really putting them down with it. He said, this is what you're like. Your parents are heathen. That's the way you've behaved. And then your sister's Samaria and the other one is Sodom. I mean, what greater thing could be said to a Jew that would be condemning? And what we want to do is we want to extract what the Lord said here about that place of Sodom. Verse number 49. And so we're not so much interested at this time about the allegory. We just need to understand where it comes from. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, but they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, God, this is God speaking, I took them away as I saw good. So see, it's interesting that it's been chosen to call June Pride Month in our nation and around the world. But the Lord says he destroyed that place because of their iniquity, and these were their sins. And pride was right at the heart in the midst of it. And it will not stand. Oh, the very thing may cost us our lives. It very well could. It very well could. But it will not stand. The Lord will deal with it. It goes on to say in verse number 56, for thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. What's being said there is that there was no reference to Sodom and what the Lord did regarding Sodom and Gomorrah, because Israel, really for the most part, Israel knew full well what she was doing. Therefore, to bring up about this judgment of the Lord regarding Sodom, that wouldn't have been a good thing to do, because that would have taken and put the witness on them that they needed to turn, because God made a serious judgment regarding the iniquity of those people in that land. You remember in Genesis chapter 19, this is what the Lord did there. The Lord Jesus, I believe in a pre-incarnation appearance of our Lord Jesus with the two angels visiting Abraham and then going to Sodom to see about the iniquity that had come up before him. And it says in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 5, here's what it says here. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, these are the men of the city, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They're very open. There's been later telling that the judgment of God came upon Sodom and Gomorrah because they were inhospitable. No, it came upon them because they were wicked exceedingly and turning around, turning over that about gender and that about the relationship of marriage and those things reserved for intimacy within marriage by God. It's God's design. And they took that and they desecrated it. In verse number 24, we see this. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. So he destroyed everything, the place, the people, and that which grew. Why? Because of their exceeding sin against him. And so pride. If we understand correctly, in that place, there has been nothing that has been built there, nor will ever be of any consequence. What is the genesis of pride? Where does pride start? Well, our Lord Jesus dealt with it in Mark chapter 7. And we read here in verse number 20 of Mark 7, the starting place. Where is the seed of pride? Where is that? We think about what we read in Romans chapter 1 and what the Lord said there about how man is in his depraved state and how he misunderstands God and cannot find God in and of himself, gets it wrong, makes him into things that he's not. We see here our Lord Jesus speaking in Mark 7, verse 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And so, to have pride is to be found defiled before God. You know, we talk about and we say to our children, our grandchildren, the young people in the church, you know, say, "Well, I'm so proud of you that you did well, that you did this assignment good, or you helped out." You know, I think we can use that well if we understand about it. Let us not be thinking that. And we love our children indeed, but let us not think that they're exceptional because of their person in that. But let us know that they are blessed by God, and we are thankful. We are thankful for them, aren't we? We're thankful for when they obey. The apostle said, "I have no greater joy than to find that my children walk in truth." Okay? We could say he was proud of them, but not using pride in the wrong way. Really, it's to be thankful, isn't it? We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the truth to be effectual unto them. But to be found in pride, thinking that we know best. You know, see, it's not about what I think that's good, but it's what the Lord thinks and what I follow in what the Lord has said. It's not about what you think is best, but what does the Lord say is best? What is the blessing of knowledge given by the Lord? Let us not walk in pride. Let us always extol Him for every blessing that we have. See, John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust or desire of the flesh, the lust, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life." See, because we can do, we can learn, we can accomplish, we can take what we learn and apply it to accomplish more. We can build, we can travel, we can go, we can do. We need to be thankful and not prideful. We don't need to say, "I know better, God." No, we need to say, "Lord, you know best. And help me to follow you in it and thank you when you do." Don't be lifted up in pride. It'll cause great destruction. It'll cause a great fall. And the changing of the way of the Lord will not stand. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. "And know about the world," John writes, "the world passeth away, and the desire, the lust thereof, will pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." What's the will of God for mankind? Men are men, and women are women. Boys are boys, and girls are girls. And men marry women. And they have children. And they have a family and a home. There's no other design but that will stand. There's a great lifting up in pride, thinking that there's other ways. There's other combinations. There's other things that God, even God, approves of. No. No. All those things are going to go away, but the way of the Lord will stand. Don't be lifted up in pride. Brother John Gill, he writes in his commentary referring to what's said here in 1 John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He says in the Syriac and Arabic versions, these are translations, it reads there, the pride of the age. And I think that's a fine way to say it, isn't it? Because see, this presently is the pride of our age. Oh, it's a sickening pride, but it is the pride of our age. It'll fail. The Lord will judge it, and it will go away. He says, in every age has some particular things in which the pride of it appears. But understand, pride is not of the Father. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride going against what the word of the Lord says, a haughty spirit going against what God says and has declared and made judgments about. May the Lord help us. Let us not go the way of pride. May the Lord grant repentance unto our nation that we be delivered from our pride. Because remember what the king of the world wrote millennia ago. There was a king. He was the king of all the known world in that day. And the Lord, he answered to no one. No one. On this earth. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse number 37, Brother Nebuchadnezzar wrote, Brother Daniel wrote it, Nebuchadnezzar's quote, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth." So hear that. Every design that the Lord's given are the truth. Everything else is a lie. Everything that the Lord has given mankind to abide in and to walk in and to obey in is the truth. And everything else is a lie. All whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Because he will do that. He did that with him in a merciful way. We know that account there in Daniel chapter 5. The Lord visited him and he took him down from his great pride and revealed himself, the God did, unto him. But all pride, the Lord will deal with. May the Lord help us that we stay away from pride. If you're here and you're not saved, don't think that you can find salvation in any other but the Lord Jesus. That is a prideful way for you to think, and that there's something else, or that you can just take care of yourself, or that you can debate with God about it. Maybe one would take the position, I just don't care. I just don't think about it. No, that's not the command of the Lord. The Lord never says, here's what I've said, you just do what you want to with it. No, the Lord Jesus himself in the day of his ministry came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Because that's what sinners need. We need to repent of our sin before the Lord. We need salvation from the Lord. And the only way a sinner can be saved is by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in substitution for you. Repent of your sins. Believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ if you're here and you're not saved. Don't be lifted up in pride to go against the truth of the Lord. And we who are saved, may we follow after the wisdom of our Lord. May we follow after his word and what he gives us. Let us not in our own pride, the pride of this old man in this flesh, to conjure up another way different than what the Lord has given us. May we serve him. May we seek to be like Jesus, our Savior, and not like ourselves.